Hi, and welcome to episode 18 in the Signal Integrity Journal's Fundamentals Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bogatin. I'm the technical editor of the Signal Integrity Journal. Today, I'm pleased to have with me Yuri Shlepnev. He's the founder and president of Symbirion Electromagnetic Solutions. He's also the father of Symbure, a popular, easy-to-use electromagnetic simulation tool. Join me in my conversation where I catch up with Yuri at DesignCon 2024, and we chat about some of the challenges in simulating high-speed interconnects and some of the cool features in the latest version of Symbure. I'm with Yuri Shlepnev here at DesignCon. Yuri, let's start out a little bit. You know, I've known you for 20 years since we've been coming to DesignCon together. How did you get started with Symbure?
Well, when I worked for first in Avida, then Mentor Graphics, and around 2005, I saw kind of growing data rates and need in electromagnetic analysis of those interconnects. But back then, all electromagnetic tools were designed for RF and microwave engineers. That's how it started. Essentially, to develop tools specifically for signal integrity. And before this, I had experience developing tools for RF and microwave industry. It's completely different. And then I switched to digital application and started. We started Symbirion in 2006.
So one of the key differentiators is you focus mostly on signal integrity,
exactly,
as opposed to all the other tools that kind of started and had their life in the RF world.
Exactly. That was goal from the beginning, and from the beginning the goal was to make it as accurate as possible. So if you look at the paper trail of our publication, you'll see that we were striving to get the analysis to measurement correlation first, and then develop a methodology to predict behavior of interconnects, not just post-mortem say, okay,
yeah,
we can tune this, tune
that,
and match analysis to measurement. But we got this methodology around 2014 kind of in place. I call it sink or swim, where you have some, well, it's maybe cheesy a little, but this is like this. So you basically have some steps where you get kind of material properties, get some feedback from manufacturer in form of some test boards, and then identify what has to be kind of adjusted in the analysis to predict the interconnect behavior when you develop real board, not just test board, but real board. And that was a differentiator from the start, and it still is.
Yeah, you identified very early how important getting accurate material properties are to get that predictive behavior. And it seems like it's not just, okay, material properties intrinsic, but how they're described in the tool. That different tools have different causal models or different behaviors for copper roughness. And so with your tool, you can identify the material properties as defined in your tool that give good match and use your tool to predict the behaviors.
Exactly. Over the years, in Symbure, we started using this Georgievich-Sarkar model around 2007. The reason was, we were not able to match the dielectric kind of dispersion that we saw from experiment to kind of flat non-causal model. It was possible with multiple device, but then. Over the years, we built into Symbure pretty much all models available for reasonably kind of applicable to PCB interconnects. Starting from wide band ZBI and ending with Havrilyak Negami or something like this. And that's because of some customers are using those models. They believe that, they think that they are better than. Then we, on top of this, models for roughness. Right now, you can see kind of all tools supporting multiple models for roughness, like Furey Snowball. Causal Furey, we call it Furey Bracken, or sometimes Cannonball, and you see different set of parameters that you enter into the model. But in reality, they're all the same. You see, there is a kind of, when you identify models in Symbior, they are portable to all other tools.
That's if they use the same model, because each model has a couple of parameters that define it.
Yes, and you have to map the parameters, like in Symbior, when we first introduce this model or that, then you need to come up with some parameters. And the other companies start kind of doing the same, and they end up with a different set of parameters for Georgievich Sarkar. They will call it Svensson Dermier, which is the same thing. And then they kind of specify, and more serious tools, they specify even not just measurement at one frequency point, electric constant, loss tangent, but they specify like all the parameters that go in actual formula. So for engineers, it's it may be kind of difficult to come up with what goes in there.
Yeah, so if you have different models, all different parameters, how does an engineer decide, okay, I'm going to use Svensson-Dvorak, or I'm going to use a Hare model, or Bracken's modification? Mm-hmm. How does an engineer, a mortal, decide which one of these models to use?
Well, there are preconception already, like as I mentioned, some companies, they say, well, this model has to be used because of we used it in the past, or we used it with the other tool. If an engineer does not have idea what to do and what model to use, so we always advise Georgievich Sarkar, or White Benzibai and Symbior, and causal Hurey-Bracken model for roughness, and that usually works quite well, up to 40-50 gigahertz.
Wow. Have you've done a lot of work looking at that measurement simulation correlation with your tools. Have you found that most of the materials that are used in laminate technology match some of these causal models really well? Have you found any exceptions to it?
There are exceptions. And it's really difficult to figure out why they are kind of, either because of data was handled, mishandled, or some measurement setup was not. What does it make good model? Model that predicts all possible kind of behavior, all parameters of intragana. Not just looking into insertion loss, for instance, but looking into phase delay, looking into impedance. And if all those things match, then everything is fine. But what if you match like phase delay, insertion loss, everything is perfect, and then the impedance is off?
Yeah.
What's next? And is it wrong model? Yes, that's probably is. So like if you use not non-causal roughness model, regular Hurey model, then you can get this match in phase delay and insertion loss, but then impedance is going to be off. So, and sometimes it's because of this interplay between inductance and capacitance. So some things are more capacitive, some things are more inductive, and we don't know why. It's really kind of advanced physics over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, those surfaces, rough surfaces, how they work, all those mixtures of different materials, they can behave kind of very unpredictably. I don't know. Yes, there are such cases.
So we start out talking about how to get that good measurement simulation correlation, and the starting place is accurate material properties and a good model for the materials to use that. Then comes the, if you have the knowledge of the geometry, there seems to be a trade-off between computation time, mesh density, and accuracy. Mm-hmm. How do you balance that? How do you figure out, okay, this is the number of iterations I go, this is what the mesh is going to look like in order to give me the required accuracy?
Well, there is always kind of trade-off. You want either answer fast or you want it accurate.
Yeah.
And every model is just approximation. So in case of interconnects, of analysis of interconnects, you need two things very accurately. Well, behavior of transmission line, it's impedance and propagation constant, right? That's where we use method of moment and do it very accurately. So there is no kind of, it's self-convergent algorithm and it predicts it with very high accuracy. But then there are discontinuities where basically there are two things. If you simulate them too accurately, then it will still not predict the behavior. So you need to be within reasonable accuracy for discontinuities. And in Symbior, we over the year we investigate the convergence of the algorithms, obviously, and basically try to set up some kind of universal approach that gives you reasonable accuracy. If a customer wants, in the latest version of Symbior, we simplify the interface to kind of a lot. You have a slider accuracy, you want more accurate, you go this way and wait longer. Or you slide it this way and get everything faster.
So is accuracy just another name for convergence? So you look for like the difference in consecutive values?
That's a
values?
Good question, Eric. Accuracy, we kind of use this word freely, but there are two things with accuracy. Accuracy when you're talking about electromagnetic algorithm. So what makes it accurate? Convergence. You use some benchmark examples that preferably either have some exact solutions or solutions with very high precision. And that's how you kind of calibrate the accuracy and see if algorithm work. You compare it with the other algorithms and so on. And there is accuracy in the real world where you want to predict interconnect behavior, or at least not even predict, but match the interconnect behavior. This is completely different thing because of there are a lot of kind of additional parameters that goes into solver. For instance, what was the geometry, kind of real geometry?
To be knowledge of what that real geometry was as
exactly,
manufactured.
Exactly, that's what makes... this is another definition of accuracy. So what, and in the latest Symbior, we basically extracted everything that imported in one interface, called it SI compliance analyzer. All those accuracy sliders, all those kind of additional adjustments that you get from manufacturer to basically be able to predict better with higher accuracy again. And and on top of this, accuracy of the solvers themselves. Yes, that's.
So in a lot of these simulation tools, one of the values is accuracy, ability to predict behavior. Another value is how accessible it is to mere mortals that aren't PhDs in physics. Are there features that you've added to Symbior that make it a little more approachable for?
Oh, absolutely, Eric. If you stop during the show, I'll do a demo for you, and you'll be basically stunned with how simple interface of Symbior became. So basically, we extracted everything in one SI compliance analyzer. Now it can be used both for pre-layout, post-layout, and multi-board, and results appear where they measure it exactly, computed. Like at the pins, at IOs, and so no lengthy procedures to kind of go through some wizards that used to be in Symbior. So during those COVID years, we redesigned it, and the first goal was basically to make it as simple as possible and as fast as possible. Another thing that happened over the last 4 years, we accelerated algorithms a lot with domain decomposition, with a technique called domain decomposition. This is an addition to cloud computing that we had before. So now it just kind of, and our goal was to make it accessible to anyone who is not familiar, even familiar with the signal integrity. Uh-huh. So they deal with the compliance metrics, all those standards, they have a set of compliance metrics that now you can use them in Symbior and either already available files, presets so-called, or you can enter them yourself, and that's a formal process. And then you just need the answer, will it comply with those metrics or not? Pass, fail. So now Symbior basically gives you, in any condition, pass, fail, and what passed was what failed. You immediately see all those graphs and colors and with severity rating. So is it badly kind of not passed or just barely kind of there? So that's that was recent thing we added. And remember, in the beginning, it was a tool for electromagnetic tool for signal integrity engineers, and signal integrity engineers mostly were not exposed to electromagnetic tools. And now we are dealing with layout designers.
Yeah.
And more customers, our customers, are layout designers. They just need a simple answer, will it work or not, and do not want even get signal integrity expert or specialist involved in the process.
And you have to speak in their language that they understand instead of S parameters.
We are trying, yes. Yeah. We work a lot of with Altium customers, for instance. But we have customers from other tools, from Allegra, BoardStation, Expedition, even KiCad customers. Basically, using Symbior, and it allows them quickly fix the problem. Mm-hmm. So, like, use this unique electrical rule checking that basically before you do electromagnetic analysis, there are a lot of things that cannot be simulated, and Symbior basically marks them.
So it's kind of an expert system that will use just kind of design rules?
Not really. It's also based on simulations. So, for instance, it computes the impedance of transmission lines with all the references that kind of surround them. So it basically uses waveguiding approach. And on VS, it evaluates the localization property of VIA. So in crosstalk, it obviously uses solver to evaluate possible amount of crosstalk. That's there are it's different approach from kind of expert system where now it's more reasonable to use simulation, quick simulation to get kind of evaluate what can be simulated and what cannot. So if the ERC step doesn't pass, and so even on the ERC step you enter rise time, data rate, and so on, so it takes this into account. If your vehicles, for instance, are not localized up to Nyquist frequency, it doesn't make sense to simulate them.
Right.
So you can still do the simulation. You'll see that those VS are leaking energy somewhere.
So you say localize, so you want to return V in proximity?
Exactly. Yeah. And not just return V in proximity, sufficient number of return V's. Uh-huh. That's what we're talking about. So at this show, you see a lot of people, kind of a lot of presentation on 224.
Yeah.
And I was in review, I was reading those and amazed with what people do. But they're trying to reuse the technology that developed for 10 gigabit per second, 28, 56 now. Last year 128, this year 224. But those VS, and I have examples, they kind of leaking like crazy above 40, 50 gigahertz, and all this, those analysis all there, they just kind of pure guess, and that's it may work. Such system work. We can see it on the show floor. Probably people demonstrate it.
But it's not robust.
It's not robust in many cases. People who know what they're doing, they like put a lot of stitching VS close by, and then it becomes localizable and predictable. That's what makes them predictable or unpredictable.
So you're saying it's always a question of how much is enough of the return VS, and so that's where a virtual prototype in Symbior is going to help you explore that design space to identify how much loss can you tolerate?
Exactly.
From the
you
the
can
fields?
Evaluate the amount of power lost by VIA. So not simulating the whole board, but just simulating a VIA with the absorbing uh-huh. boundary conditions. That's what we added in the latest release, absorbing boundary conditions for all solvers, for all our solvers. And that helps to evaluate, like, okay, 20% may be reasonable loss of energy, 20% of energy, up to 30, 40 gigahertz, 50. And then it goes like 60, 70, 90. You basically creating a perfect radiator within the board. Obviously, at those frequencies, you may have small amount of energy, but you're still losing it.
So this is an example of you mentioned the application in the pre-layout phase in order to subsequent design rules.
Exactly.
And so you can set up an example of that and evaluate how much loss can you tolerate and how many return vias up to what kind of bandwidth that you care
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the most important element. And I came from RF microwave world where people didn't use vehicles at all. Remember this? The only VIAs just shorting VIAs. That's
uh-huh,
it.
Uh-huh.
Just
because
micro strip lines shorting
VIAs.
Yeah. And strip lines were not popular at
uh-huh.
all. And the reason was because of you need to transition to strip line, and that's a whole story how to.
Yeah.
And now we routinely see 30-40 year layer boards with signals with spectrum way over 50 gigahertz.
Yeah. Do you find then in this next generation of board technology that is in the 220 gigabit range that it's the vias that are the big challenge, or is there some other aspect either in connectors or packages?
Manufacturing variations in manufacturing. Connectors, obviously, they are not scalable, and you mentioned it right. And cable is good solution, but then you need a connector and still need a transition through vias and transition to connector. Connector is big, and so on. And manufacturing accuracy. With one of our key customers, we were trying to prepare something for this design con, but didn't get into it in time. But working on this data rates, I understand that getting this analysis to measurement correlation or predict interconnect like it used to be before 40 gigahertz, 50, is not possible. So we cannot predict it over 50 gigahertz and get the nice match in the curves and so on. You can do it only as you can build statistic model.
Yes. And that's because of just the uncertainty of what the as-manufactured parts are?
Uncertainty in dielectric properties about those uh-huh. frequencies. Little variation in mixtures and everything, and inhomogeneity of dielectric. Uncertainty, there are variation in geometry as well. So as we go at high frequencies, things probably become a little easy because of strips will become wider. And at EPIPS last year, I saw presentation from Intel. They kind of create more and more skip layers in their packages, wider traces.
Yeah.
That makes them a little bit more predictable because of small variation do not affect as much the properties. But many companies still kind of get maximal possible density of interconnects with like 3-4 mil interconnects and variation in dimensions of those interconnects. Before 40 gigahertz, that's okay. You can still see kind of correlation with your measurements. But then above, it's just, it can go completely kind of, and the only way to predict it is to build a lot of boards, create statistical models, and predict it statistically, so that you'll get within this range, for instance. And that's a problem with...
So in your tool, can you do any kind of Monte Carlo simulation to say, here's the structure, and here's the variation you're going to expect to see?
There is nothing built into Symbior GUI for this thing. We still getting through this research stage, and for research stage, we use Symbior SDK. It's a software development kit based on Symbior, access to all Symbior solvers and tools. So those, and you write scripts to basically create statistical models,
okay.
And then correlate those models with measurements. Or the other way around, use the measurements to extract models for dielectric, for instance, and those models we have some result published. They have statistical distribution of like dielectric constant and loss tangent or parameters of the model, statistical distributions of parameters of the models. So the same thing has to be done with geometry as well. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to, and Monte Carlo is kind of a brute force approach. And so far we use in those kits, we use it, but we need to switch to more kind of analytical approach with statistical.
So you're saying one of the next frontiers is this challenge of your tool is really accurate if you know what the geometry is, but mm-hmm. when you get as manufactured parts, there's enough variation even in controlled manufactured parts when you do it in volume that small variation in geometry features, line widths, local dielectric property variations, the unpredictability that now there's an element of just statistical distribution in the performance of the parts that you're going to get.
Yes.
And every part's going to be a little different.
Yes. But remember, the final answer you need is, will it work?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's what matters. So all those variations and all those kind of, it doesn't matter as soon as you're in the space where it still works.
Right.
So you need kind of this space where you safely kind of, okay, manufacturing variation, this dielectric variation, that connector variations, a big deal, by the way. So you get ideal 50-ohm model for the connector, and then in reality, maybe 51.
Where is that transition where the statistical variation of the parts that's manufactured starts to get into the margin that's available to give you yield hits? Is that in the
That's a part of this research. So you need a lot of data. Manufacturers, they do not collect such data.
Yeah.
And what kind of data you need? You need a lot of measurements of S parameters, at raw S parameters, and then convert them into material models, and then investigate them kind of with a lot of cross sections. And some people do this, and we do it with one company that our kind of key customer. Maybe next design con will present something, but we're still kind of in research mode. Yeah. So, and
but do you think that is in the 56 or 128 gig systems where that's an issue?
Yes, this company is doing this 126 to over 200 gigabit per second. Yes, and the only way to go is availability of statistical models that will predict the yield of the taking particular board. They are evaluating every single board manufacturer that they use. So, and having some statistical data, ideally the board manufacturer should collect all those data.
Yes.
But they don't have skills.
Yeah.
They don't have...
morning.
And they, frankly, they are not motivated by companies that order those PC boards. It used to be just impedance control. Now it's kind of, loss control, delta L method, make sure that the losses are not like this. And in reality, you have to request all the statistical information that you can get in the tool. Exactly like with wide band debye model or roughness model. Right now, you cannot even request roughness model from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's as simple as that. They regulate losses, some standards. But then, what about what you're gonna get in the tool to get these losses and get them predictable up to some frequency? So use of kind of mechanical measurements is extremely unreliable. So it's like you can sometime get it right and sometime get it wrong, and you cannot tell which one is correct. And, that's roughness is number one, and then statistical models for geometry variations, for material properties variation. That's a long way to go. I don't know. Some companies probably aware of it. Well, certainly aware of this, and they'll start demanding from PCB manufacturer more, or doing in-house. That's their own research on this. Similar what we did 10 years ago with few companies like Infinera, Rembas, Wild River, obviously, where all those experiments where you need to build a test board and then build another larger board and be able to predict every single structure on the board behavior using this previous experience of material identification
And know that geometry really well.
Knowing this geometry very well. And some of those test boards had wide traces, like Wild River, for instance. Some are realistic traces, like on Rembas project. The project with LeCroy as well. You are with LeCroy, right? No.
Fellow with LeCroy.
Okay.
Yeah.
With Infinera, it's publicly available. So now it's a different game. So you need to collect statistical data to, you can predict it up to 40-50, but then what then?
Well, Yuri, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for your time today. It's exciting learning about the future for your tool, some of the new features with the usability. I'm definitely going to stop by and take a look at some of those. And also really interesting to learn about kind of the future of how statistics are going to start playing a significant role in the high-end design process.
Yeah, thank you, Eric, and for very interesting questions. And let's continue this conversation.
Thank you very much.
And that concludes my interview. My thanks to Yuri Shlepna for joining us, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in. I hope you check out all of our other podcasts at the Signal Integrity Journal. And that's 30 for this edition.